This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
How does Wall Street spell relief? J-O-B-S. From APM in New York, I'm Matt Nesta with the Marketplace Midday Update. A major relief rally in stocks and bonds is underway this morning. This as a sharp rebound in April job creation has allowed investors to file that miserable March result as a one-off. Officially, 223,000 new jobs were added last month, and the unemployment rate also dipped to a seven-year low of 5.4%. Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial, joins us now. So, Chris, you see this report as having sort of a silver lining. Why is that?
Well, that's right. It was weaker than expected. Stocks are up in reaction to the report. Weaker number means less likely the Fed's going to do something. But, you know, we had real weakness last month. Last month in March, there were only 86,000 jobs after revision. That's the lowest since June of 2012, the infamous soft patch of 2012. So it's a big improvement, and the improvement extends to a wide range of industries. Mm. Construction, for example, it really is sort of across the board. Only manufacturing and mining remain really weak.
And that is the silver lining, the sort of it takes a village mentality to drive the economy. It's not just about the fracking economy. It's other industries contributing.
We're firing on almost all cylinders with essentially a recession in the oil economy. We're still creating more than 200,000 jobs this month. That's pretty darn good.
5.4% unemployment rate, that's a seven-year low. The total figure, though, at 10.8%, that's been steadily ticking down as well.
You know, when you look at other measures of labor slack, for example, millions of people still working part-time, wanting full-time jobs, millions more who've stopped looking for work altogether, but they'd love a job if they stumbled across one, those numbers are beginning to decline. And I think what that means is that people are pretty soon anyway going to feel a lot better about their job prospects. You also see that in wages. Wage growth has accelerated in real terms to the highest in years. It doesn't feel that way because we're still in the catch-up phase. But I think a year from now, people are bound to feel a lot better about their financial situation too.
Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial, thank you very much.
Thank you, Matt.
The people and pundits of the UK may be shocked, but those in the investment community are celebrating, at least for now, the continuity that the re-election of British Prime Minister David Cameron's Conservative Party brings to the table. Theo Leggett is a business reporter for our partners at the BBC, and he joins us now from London with some insights. Good morning, Theo.
Good morning, Matt.
Explain to us why you say the FTSE 100 and the pound are both rallying after this Conservative victory. Give us a sense of what people are thinking on trading desks today.
Well, I think investors are as surprised as the rest of us. What happened here was pretty much every poll for months and months and months has been predicting that the Conservative Party and the Labour Party were neck and neck. So the markets had pretty much bought into this and said, we're not going to know what the dominant economic policy is going to be for the next few weeks or months. Now there is a degree of certainty, and the markets are responding to that renewed sense of where we're going. The pound is up, and yes, the FTSE 100 is also substantially up this morning.
The Conservative Party has been adamant about the UK exiting the EU. Is that more likely now?
It certainly moves a step closer. It's not a done deal, though. What the Conservative Party has promised is to hold a national vote on whether or not the UK should remain part of the European Union. It's also promised to enter into a renegotiation process with its partners in Europe. And the chances are they don't want Britain to leave the European Union. So we may see a process of compromise over the next few months.
Theo Leggett at the BBC. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
We'll be right back. In our series Behind the Blue Line, we've been taking a step back to look at the job of policing, and today we look at the increasing impact that the widespread use of smartphone video is having on daily law enforcement. For example, a week ago, the ACLU of California launched a mobile app to help people videotape police, and 40,000 people have already downloaded it. Marketplace's Nova Safo has details.
The app automatically uploads smartphone videos to the ACLU.
The idea behind that feature is to help preserve the video.
Peter Bebring is with the ACLU of California.
We've seen incidents where officers took a cell phone and deleted video. This provides some measure of protection against that.
Bebring says their app isn't the first of its kind, but it's proved popular in light of recent events.
It's not a brand new trend, but it's absolutely a growing trend.
Jocelyn Simonson teaches law at NYU. She has been studying the growth of police videotaping and says people are taking out their smartphones more often.
Part of what we're seeing is a change in the recognition that filming police officers is an important thing.
But the ACLU's app may be going in the wrong direction, says Christine Cole. She focuses on social justice issues and policing at a think tank in Boston.
This tool actually exacerbates the divide and makes it feel like us versus them.
Still, Cole adds, police and communities must learn to deal with increased scrutiny on camera. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
And finally, some good news for more than a million beleaguered borrowers today who've been pestered by so-called zombie debt collectors who pursue them even after they've filed for bankruptcy. The New York Times reports that Bank of America and J.P. Morgan Chase have agreed to update the credit files of customers to ensure their credit reports don't contain those debts. In New York, I'm Matt Nesto with the Marketplace Midday Update. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.